Blog Let's just Talk wait Radio. For
our Blog Talk audience in the top of the plate. You hear that? Here we go, everybody. We're about to get this party started.
Are you already in a relationship or are you looking for one? Do you want to know the real about relationships? Do you want to hear about adult topics discussed from a no-holds-barred approach? If that's the case, then this is the show for you. This is Real and Raw, bringing you the best in relationship radio. Join your host, Mr. Finesse, as I discuss the relationship topics which you want to hear. I promise you that I will make the conversation real and raw.
This is real and raw. This is real and raw. Uncut with Mr. Finesse. Any topic you want to address, pick up the phone, call Mr. Finesse. This is real and raw. This is real and raw. Tune in for some real life-ish. Anything you want ain't nothing private. Pick up the phone, call Mr. Finesse. This is real and raw. This is real and raw.
What's up, everybody? Appreciate you logging on. Just waiting for the top on Blog Talk to end. All right, everybody. We're here. We are back. Sometimes you got to get the team together, get the right team. I want to welcome us to Real and Raw Relationship Media, a no-holds-barred relationship conversation. You know who this is. This is your man, your co-host, Finesse. And tonight, I want to welcome my new co-host, who's going to help me to set it off every Monday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., simulcasting on BeLive TV and Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome Ayo Dele. Ayo, are you on
Greetings.
Tonight?
Greetings. Hey. How you doing, Mr. Finesse?
I'm doing all right. Listen, you know, I'm excited about being back on the air. I'm excited about you co-hosting with me. So, Ayo, we've been talking about this for a minute. Rosalia Vera, Janice Carter, Stephen Gardner, we appreciate you logging in. Let me just do a little sound check. I see it spinning. All right, we're going to keep going here. So, everybody, we appreciate you being on tonight. Listen, if you are listening, you can actually call in 657-383-0106. 657-383-0106, or you can hit us up in the chat. I'm about to hit everybody up in the chat just to let you know we're here. So feel free to join in this conversation. Tonight's topic is, you can't hear me well, all right? Somebody just said, I can't hear you well, all right? So I need to turn this up a little bit. So can you hear me better? Rosalia Vera, can you hear me better? Ayo, let's get this party started. Tonight's topic is unconditional love with a question
mark.
Yes. So we want to deal with, is it realistic? We're not going to answer the question right now. Is it realistic to say that unconditional love is possible? That's what we want to talk about. Because ideally, everybody wants to be loved unconditionally. Thank you. Better. All right. I'm going to turn it up a little bit better. Everybody wants to be loved unconditionally. The Cinderella story, the knight in shining armor, Prince Charming. No matter what I do, who I am, what I say, how I act, you are supposed to love me. And the question becomes, is this realistic? Thank you for those who are logging on. So we're going to start Aya with this tonight. I'm not going to try to sing it. I'm just going to try to bring it.
Bring it.
What is it, that song by Tina Turner? What's love got to do with it? So
yeah, what's love got to do? Yeah, got
uh-oh.
To do with it. It has everything
uh-oh,
to do
uh-oh,
with
uh-oh,
it.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, you know,
don't make me sing right now.
Hey, well, listen, you can sing right now. As a matter of fact, what I need to do is I need to share this on your timeline. Yes, I'm going to share this on your timeline right now. All right, I just shared it with you. So, Io.
Yes, sir.
We have to start with this. What love?
Ooh.
See, we got to start there. What's love? Because until we define what love is, it's hard to talk about what unconditional love is or what conditional love is. So in your mind, what's love?
In my mind and in my spirit. Yes, it's both a noun and it's a verb. You know, love is something that we're born into. Love is something that we have towards ourselves, towards our higher power, towards humanity, towards all things. Love is something that can be expressed. We can have it, we can hold it, and we can verbalize it, or we can just share it. And there are three, in my opinion, there are three different categories: to have it, to hold it, to share it. To have it, to hold it, to share it. To have it for myself, to hold it, meaning I can have love for somebody else, but I don't necessarily have to show it in a physical form. I just have it. And then to show it, which means a physical manifestation of that love. A love is caring. A love is sharing. I mean, it's all of the things that we encompass as being, quote, unquote, good. And I know some people don't like the terms good and bad. But love makes us smile. Love makes us warm and fuzzy. I mean, it's hard to describe what love is in one particular definition because, as I've learned, we all have different definitions of love.
All right. What's your definition of love? And Io, I think I just lost the broadcast on everybody. This is your man, Finesse, again. Somehow I clicked out of the broadcast, so I just started it up again. So we are back. My apologies. As soon as it comes back on Facebook, I will share it with you. So we're still live on Blog Talk. So Io, what is your definition of love?
It is a feeling, and it is a... It is an expression of affection. It is an essence of, I have to go there. You know, there are some people who don't believe in God, but for me, I do. So, you know, it may sound corny, but yes, God is love and love is God.
All right.
For me, it is the presence of God. And if God is the creator of all things, hello, then there is love in all things as it is created. It is not until we go through life and life changes and all of the empirical knowledge that we take on from the time that we are born until the time that we die that we have the ability or the free will to chisel away that love. But we are born in it. You know, we're not born hating. We're not born of hate. We're born of love. Love is life. Everything that has life is love. You know, when we look at babies, when we look at flowers, I mean, look at nature in general. So, like I say, it is a presence. It is an existence. Which is a noun, and it's also a verb. I mean, it's an expression of affection, of emotion, inner emotion, towards whatever, be it humanity, be it any inanimate object. It's just a feeling that we have within ourselves that we carry wherever we go.
That's what love
is to me.
It's a feeling that we have that we express wherever we go. And for those who are listening, I see there's somebody listening through Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate you listening. I inadvertently disconnected. I thought I was clicking out of one screen, and I clicked out of everything. So we are back up. You're listening and you're watching Real and Raw Relationship Media. Tonight's topic is unconditional love. So we're talking about what love is. Io, I have I have a what I think is a very simple definition. It's one that I've used to guide my own understanding of love and expression of love. Love is two things. At its highest level, it's unconditional acceptance of the other, and it is commitment to the other's highest good. Now, it may seem with that definition that I may be contradicting myself later on. I used the word unconditional in my definition.
No, it did.
The highest expression of what love is. Yes, I did. I realized that I did that. So,
and I'm gonna call you up on it too.
You gonna call me up? You gonna call me up on it? My number is 908.
I'm gonna call you right out on that. Yes, I am.
Hey, okay. It's okay. Let me just make sure we're back up. I said I'm gonna call you. All right, I'm gonna share it. We're back live. I'm gonna share this right now. I am gonna share it with you again. Let's see here. I'm gonna share it on your timeline. He said I am going to call you up on it. All right. I've been doing relationship radio for a minute. Thank you, Valerie Crittle, for liking the video. So I don't mind being called up or called out. So everybody, I'm going to put this in the chat, and I would love for us to weigh in. What is love? So I'm going to put this in the chat right now. And everybody who normally logs on, you know that I'm in the chat. I'm flipping back and forth between Blog Talk Radio and Be Live. So how about this? Please. Valerie Crittle said LOL. So Valerie, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to hit me up in the chat. Feel free to weigh in. What is love? Yes. Yes, Valerie, Jesus is love. I believe it. So now on a human level, what's love? What's love? And it's funny because I see comments come right up on the screen. What's love? I say ideally. All right. So Io, you're gonna call me up. So I'm gonna hedge my bets right about now and simply say ideally, love in its ultimate form is unconditional acceptance and total commitment to the other's highest good. And interestingly enough, love is something that all of us search for. Let's be honest. Care. Thank you, Rosalia. Rosalia, I hope everything is well. Miss you at HONJ. I'm doing well. I'm sure you're doing well. Love is care. Somebody else, tell us, what is love? Right? What is it? Because we all search for it. Babies feel it. Animals sense it. Some people.
Yes.
There's a country song, and I will say this to everybody. I like a wide variety of music. I do have a country station. Love is when you'd rather take an L out of respect for yourself. Wow, Valerie, love is when you rather take an L out of respect for yourself. So Valerie, are you saying that you'd rather take a loss because you love somebody? Clarify that, please. And I appreciate Rosalia Vera and Valerie Crater weighing in. Io, this is wonderful. People are weighing in on
That's
in the
great.
Chat.
That's great.
Yeah. So. She also touches on, based on that definition that she gave,
self-love. Because if you're willing to give up the L, as she puts it, then that means that give up means, you know, addition and subtraction.
Right.
So what are you giving away? You're subtracting. Giving up means giving away. So are you giving up some of your own self-love? Just for the sake of loving somebody else?
So what Valerie is saying is because I love myself. So basically, I think what Valerie is saying, and I'm going to jump ahead and then jump back. So Valerie, what you're saying is that love is not unconditional. That love is, in fact, conditional. That the love that I have or you have for someone else is essentially conditional, because the love that you have for yourself has to be counterbalanced by the love that you have for someone else. That said, let me go back to my country music anecdote and example. So this probably goes back, yes, Deborah Walker, acceptance, tolerance, indifference, sometimes pain. All right, so does love mean, does loving someone have to involve pain? And if so, is it truly loving for me? I just want to raise that to those who are watching and those who are listening. So country music, there's a song that Urban Cowboy with John Travolta and I think Deborah Winger back in the 80s, I think it was early 80s, mid 80s, looking for love in all the wrong places. And a lot of reality, yes, Deborah, Valerie said yes, Deborah, a lot of reality television, if you allow it, it's true. If you allow yourself to be pained by someone, you will be pained by someone. So I think a lot of reality TV, and I don't want to name any shows, though, let your mind spin, because you can think of many shows. There's a dysfunctional love, IO, viewing audience, listening audience, there's a dysfunctional love that makes for good TV. Am I right about that, IO?
Absolutely. Love, in my opinion, when you talk about reality television, not unconditional love. That's not what gets ratings. What gets ratings is the conditional love. We'll get into that when we start talking about conditional and unconditional love. But, yeah, that's definitely not unconditional. It's not.
I think, viewing and listening audience, the kind – Valerie Cradle said, I can't with you. Oh, you know, listen, I got to make this entertaining as well as informative. No, I'm serious. I think let's think about it. That dysfunctional man who has multiple women, wife, and a jump off and a baby mama, right? That woman who, no matter how much that man cheats, she keeps running back. And even some shows that are on network television, it's that dysfunctional love, right?
Yeah.
That somehow makes for good television. You see, not the balanced love, not family, monogamy, fidelity. That's boring. But the minute it becomes a jump off, side piece, fighting over the man or fighting over the woman, Jerry Springer type, it's good TV. So. We all search for love.
Well, if I may say, when you, again, getting to the model of reality television,
yes,
and you mentioned jump offs and side pieces and all of the drama.
Yes.
That is portrayed.
Yes.
Yeah. That is, in my opinion, that is a ramification, or that is a product of undefined love.
Undefined.
It's undefined. There is no way, and the reason I say that is because there is no way, when you look at the order of sociology, the order of, not sociology, how we meet. Boy meets girl, girl likes boy likes girl. They exchange.
Yes.
What do you like? What do I like? What don't you like? All of this communication. And then at some point, somebody or both say, I love you. At that very point, at that pivotal point, you need to not just say, I love you. You need to define, what kind of love do you have for that person? You need to elaborate. And I know when you're in the moment and the candles are burning and you're having the romantic dinner and you finally get up, the nerve to say those three words, you don't really want to get anal about it. You don't want to get textbook about it and start having to, you know, overthink it or anything. But at some point, whatever you have in your heart towards that person, you need to define it. Only because look at what happens down the road. There's no reason why, if two people agree that they love each other and they love each other the same way, that they go off course down the road.
So
if he loved me, why did he do so-and-so? Why does he have a side piece? And I thought he loved me. Well, maybe he loves you a particular way that he was not wise enough or bold enough or honest enough to share with you way back when. But it is a reality that when men, sometimes, not all the time, but in these cases, when men and women get together, it's a different kind of love or different levels of love that we might have on the table, but we don't explicitly express it. Therefore, it's undefined.
So
we just assume, he told me he loves me, therefore, blah, 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 blah. And we
right,
define it ourselves just because somebody else told us. That's incorrect.
In our head. We define it in our heads. So what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, is that what is implicit, we've got to make explicit. What is inside, we've got to bring outside. We've got to verbalize and articulate. And I think, listen, I'm a movie buff. I love movies. That's how I relax. One day I want to produce movies, invest in movies, all of that. Interestingly enough, if you look at a lot of romantic comedies or romantic movies, period, love stories, it's interesting, how do people, Ion, listening audience, viewing audience, how do people fall in love in a 10-minute time span? and I know a movie's only, I mean, now movies are a minute, an hour, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, 45 minutes, 10, 20 years ago, they were 2 hours plus. And every now and then, Martin Scorsese or another director may have a longer movie. Typically, movies are about an hour and a half. You know, Boy Meets Girl. Boy and girl go out. Boy and girl have sex. Boy loves girl. Girl loves boy. I think.
Now, why do you have to put the sex before the love?
you know why, Io? Because in most movies, listen, and this is real, right? And it helps to define our implicit or our explicit notion of love. I'm keeping it real. This is real and raw. No holds barred relationship conversation. Sex always comes before love in the movies. Nine times out of ten, and I'm willing to be corrected, the sex scene comes before the love. It does.
Not all the time. Not all the time.
Really?
Well,
okay.
Because I'm thinking specifically of like, what do you call them? Romantic comedies. And nine times out of ten, well, when I see romantic comedies, the two people that usually end up together, they were not in a romantic interlude from the very beginning. They might have been friends and they had a different kind of love from, you know, like high school sweethearts or something like that, but they never took it to the next level. So they wound up being best friends or something, you know, like Love Jones. Something like Love Jones, you know, it's like, you know, they're all friends and you can love each other like that. But then as you grow and you mature and you evolve, something else might spark and you could turn it into something else. So
really,
Love Jones,
with Nia Long, I mean, a lot of different plots are now spinning in my head. So are you talking Nia Long and Lorenz Tate, Love Jones?
Yeah, same movie, but I'm not just talking about those two characters. I'm talking about everybody as a whole, the different types of love that you have, because you have friendship love too.
Yes.
And it is possible for, you know, a group of people to be hanging out, you know, you're my girl, you're my boy, friendship of the opposite sex I'm talking about. And
understood.
You don't think about romance until you mature, and then all of a sudden it could evolve into something else, and it turns into a romantic type love.
Exactly. Let me just acknowledge Dr. Rodney Pearson, Deborah Walker. I appreciate you coming. Maybe he loves you, but not in love. Janice Carter, appreciate you logging on. Ricky Vera, thank you for the like. Listen, you can call in 657-383-0106. 657-383-0106. Press 1 to speak to myself or Io. Also, you can hit us up in the chat. So, our culture emphasizes meeting immediate self. Our culture, Dr. Pearson says, emphasizes meeting immediate selfish needs over the long term. I think so, and I think, Io, to your point, we have an inner understanding of what love is. So when we hear the words, I love you, such a profound point. When we hear the words, I love you, we interpret that in terms of our own inner understanding, but not necessarily given how the other person is saying it.
Yes, guilty.
Yeah.
I've done it.
You understand?
I can testify.
You know, you understand? I love red velvet cake. But you understand what I'm saying? But I don't love red velvet cake like I love my son. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
As we're shifting gears a bit, as we're moving forward in this topic, what is love? The search for love. See, when we hear those words, something in us celebrates. Yet we've
right.
got to take the time to define for ourselves and hear from the other what, very simple, what do you mean when you say I love you?
Right.
See?
And yeah, I've been misunderstood, you know, quite a bit by using those three words. Because I'm
right,
a love child.
Right, because it couldn't be.
I am
love
a love child. You know, I put love in everything I do, you know, and everything
yeah.
I touch. So I could say right now to you, Mike, I could say right now, Mr. Finesse, I love you.
Okay. So if you say that, what does that mean?
But, see, you and I, based on our interaction, based
yes.
on the infliction, and I know it gets real technical, but based on the infliction of my voice, based on how I say it, based on where I say it, all of those things surrounding it could mean one thing or the other. It's almost like the difference between saying, I love you and love ya. You know what
okay.
I mean? It's like I have an affection in my heart towards another human being, but I could say, you know, Mr. Finesse, love ya. But I could
yes.
turn to, you know, my man, my husband, and when I say I love you, it has a completely different meaning. But the fact that me, the source of the love, is there, you know what I'm saying? I'm spreading it, but I'm spreading it in different ways, and there are different definitions of it as I go on, even throughout the day. I could say I love you to my child. It means something different than when I say it to another relative or you. But I could say it all day long. I could say it to strangers. I could express
yes.
it to strangers.
Yes, and I think when it comes to saying the word, because it is so serious, I think it's incumbent upon both parties to gain understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I mean?
Mm-hmm.
By what I say. What
exactly.
what does the other person mean? You see, because all kinds of emotions are created, agitated, enhanced, any other word we want to use, when we hear those words. And there are people who are so love-starved.
Mm,
that,
there it is.
Right? They're so love-famished that when they hear it, it almost makes their life. And there are people, both male and female, who take advantage of the love-starved nature of certain people to even say that, because they want to manipulate based upon the person's response to the I love you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Not cool. Not cool.
Not cool.
Not
cool.
Cool. That's not love. Sorry.
I
you're saying
agree.
It, but anything manipulative, no. For selfish reasons, no. That's not love.
So
that's yeah.
what is unconditional love?
Ooh.
So I'll offer perspective, and of course, everybody, I'm gonna just put this in the chat. What is, quote, unconditional love? So I think unconditional love to me, and I'll go back to my definition. Thank you for those who are logging on. Again, you can call in 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106, or you can hit us up in the chat. Unconditional love is love without any expectation.
Oh, that's my definition. You got it.
All right, love without any expectation. Love that continues no matter what is done to the person who is giving that love. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm thinking out loud.
Uh-huh.
See, unconditional love. That means I love you no matter what. I will, Dr. Pearson, I will do that. Type in the calling number. All right. Understand? Unconditional love. That means no matter what, I'm still going to love you. No matter what. Now, I can say, Io, that no matter what my son does, I will love him. Mm-hmm. And I'll stop there. I'm going to stop there only because, I want you to definitely comment, and then we have people who may be calling in. Unconditional love, that's pretty powerful.
Well, let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It's deep. Okay, now, this is how I interpret that. First of all, if I have already expressed that I not only love you, but I'm in love with you, and then I proceed to say, I love you no matter what, you already think, wow, Ayo loves me, she's in love with me, and she said that she loves me no matter what it is that I do, no matter what happens. Now, the problem that I have with the no matter what is that you don't necessarily have the same exact love when that no matter what goes left. You follow what I'm saying? If something happens to shift that love, then it just shifts. It doesn't mean that it ends, but it shifts. In other words, I could love you, I could be in love with you, and I could say I love you no matter what, and then you do something malicious to hurt me. Now, the thing is that person going to assume that I still love them? I do, but I'm no longer in love with them. And I may not even love them romantically anymore. Now the unconditional love, I got to tap into that because I am a loving being. So I got to tap into one or the other because I don't hate. Okay. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay.
So the no matter what doesn't justify whatever action that somebody else may do towards the one that claims that they love them. No, it's not an excuse. That's not what it means. And again, this all taps into unconditional love. Unconditional love doesn't mean you step on my toe, you crunch my toes, you hurt my feelings, you know, and I'm still supposed to have the same exact type of love that we created together moving forward. That is not what unconditional love is. That's not what it is.
All right. I see somebody. I'm just going to flip over to Be Live to a Blog Talk. I see somebody in the queue. I'm just going to give the area code 602. If you want to speak on the air, please press 1. That way I'll know that, and I'll get a indication in the queue that you want to speak on there. Yes, I'm going to bring you on in just a second. So here we are. Caller, good evening. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Welcome to Real and Raw Relationship Media.
Hello, my brother. This is Dr. Rodney Pearson.
Dr. Pearson, hello, sir. How are you? And please say hello to Io.
Hello to you said to Io.
Io,
yes, A-Y-O.
Yes.
How are you, Dr. Pearson?
A-Y-O. I'm doing fine. This is my favorite subject in the whole wide world.
All right, Dr. Pearson. So please share with us your question, your comment, or your observation.
Okay, my comment and observation. I think one of the things that we, especially in America, don't really understand is love, how love is segmented, how love is expressed. And there is a difference between unconditional love, expression of our love, to the point of Io, where she said that I may not love you the same way. I think unconditional love means that love is consistent. That love has to be consistent, and it has to be the same way, or else it's not unconditional. It doesn't qualify. However, my eros might change if you are beating me up. My phileo love might change, which is, of course, that brotherly love. It may change if I see unbrotherly or unsisterly-like treatment, if I express that.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of love are certainly conditional. Sturgos, that parental, that motherly love, that might change if my relationship changes. But unconditional love is so much more powerful, and the word is based on the idea that we love our brother and sister in the same way that God loves us. God does not change his love for us under any circumstance. There is no one that God loves more or less than the other person. It is completely, undeniably unconditional. Go ahead.
So, Dr. Pearson, from a spiritual standpoint, from the perspective of God emanating, that it is unconditional. I appreciate the stage you're setting. Let's talk about it in real human terms.
Right.
Is unconditional love, and I'm not taking a position right now, and I want to hear what you have to say. Is human to human, in the daily, if you will, working out of our relationships, is unconditional love realistic?
Yes.
Why?
Human to human, it is it is realistic, but it is only realistic when we, because it is unrealistic for us to love unconditionally, because we as human beings don't have the capacity to love unconditionally.
All right, so I like this. So are you saying that, let me back up and put it another way. When you say the spiritual, are we talking religion? Are we talking Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, Islam, Taoism, New Ageism? When you say we have to incorporate
the
spiritual.
Yeah, here's the thing. Many of us use terms to define a religious or spiritual position that we hold, our belief system that we have, but if we use a word to define a belief system, doesn't mean that that belief system empowers us in the same way. So
okay.
I could say that my religion is a sparkless water bottle, or, as some people, just the power above myself. But saying that does not connect me with the power that may emanate from that thing. There's power that comes out of my water bottle that I'm standing here looking at right now. There's power, but that power is connected to the wall, or that power is connected to the water that flows through it. That may or may not enable me to love unconditionally. So the definition of spirituality is not just because a person determines that it is spiritual, meaning that it's outside of us. It might be, but the truth of the matter is, in my opinion and my experience, that when it comes down to love, love is universal. And there are certain spiritual, again, my opinion and my training and my learning, there are certain religions that do connect with the same God that I connect to, but it might be by another name. It might be under a whole other writing, a historical writing. It may be different, but it still may connect to the God of my understanding, just like
so,
it does with somebody else.
I like that. So let me just make this observation. I want you to jump in. So Dr. Pearson, what you're saying is whatever our faith framework, that we unconditional love is only possible when we connect to something transcendent or something greater than ourselves, like a higher power. Yes?
Almost yes.
Almost yes. All right. So I wanted to jump in, and then we're gonna see if anybody else wants to call in. So I wanted to jump in. It is
well,
go ahead.
Well, you asked me first.
I agree.
But didn't you ask me, was I saying that or not?
Okay, so just very succinctly, doctor, if that's not what you're saying, what were you saying? My apologies.
Okay, and I will be succinct and brief. What I mean is that because we call it spiritual or call it God doesn't mean that it in itself has the power to enable us with the capacity to love unconditionally. It's just because I call my car a Rolls Royce doesn't mean that it is. It's still a Chevy. It doesn't give me everything that a Rolls Royce would give me. So just because I call it that name doesn't mean that it's the same power. I'm saying that you got to be connected to the universal God of all, the universal God, the same God. Now, some people would differ with me with this statement. I believe that the same God that some people call Allah is the same God that I call Jehovah.
Understood. So I'm just going to raise this rhetorically, and this line of conversation may be a little bit better for our unchurched live broadcast that we do on Thursday night. So I will just raise this. So can an atheist and or an agnostic love unconditionally?
No.
Okay. All right. So we'll stop it there, doctor. Listen, you have an open invitation to call in any time. I do appreciate it. Thank you for your comment. And feel free to continue to listen in on Blog Talk, or if you choose to disconnect, you can always continue to listen on Be Live. Appreciate you calling in today. So I
he brought up some powerful points, though. Dr. Pearson, he brought up some powerful points.
Oh, yes.
On the one hand, but here's the thing. I agree with what he's saying in reference to being able to connect to a higher power, whatever you want to call that higher power. Because remember, in the very beginning, when I personally defined what love is, I said, you know, without stepping on any toes, you know, we're not having a religious conversation. But for me, you ask me, I'm going to answer. God is love. Love is God. So
yes,
it's just the godly or the divine consciousness, whatever you want to call a higher power. And even if you don't believe in God, if there is a deeper consciousness within yourself that will allow you, and I'm using your definition, to love or to express a feeling or an emotion without expectation. You don't need to believe in God in order to give without expectation. I don't mean to step on any spiritual or religious toes here, but you don't.
Yes. Yeah, so let me just.
You follow what I'm
saying?
It's an act of selflessness. That's what it is.
I do. I do. I mean, I will not go so far as saying, Dr. Pearson, I believe you're still in. I see you still listening in through Blog Talk. I appreciate truly your commentary tonight. I will go so far as to say I think an atheist and or an agnostic, atheist doesn't believe in God, agnostic is not sure. And I mean, we could have a whole long discourse about atheism versus agnosticism. That's really not purposes for the show. I think, as you said, Iowa, I think that that deeper human consciousness can enable mm-hmm. one to love unconditionally if one believes that human beings can love unconditionally. All right.
Right. Because it would be unfair. It would be unfair to say that those who do not believe in God cannot love unconditionally. That would be, in my opinion, that would be unfair.
My opinion
which,
also.
Which kind of turns like, okay, we go back to what is the definition of unconditional love?
Exactly.
You see how
so,
the definitions, depending on who's speaking, can just really, you know, it's so compounded. Yeah.
So compounded. So let me say this before I read Sandra Smith Thomas's comment. I think viewing audience, if you're watching through Be Live, listening audience, if you're listening through Blog Talk Radio, we all have to define what love is for us because it will help us to both give and receive love. That said, Sandra Smith Thomas, thank you for your comment. One can love unconditionally, but that does not mean you forsake yourself for someone that causes you pain in a relationship. That does not mean that you no longer love them, but your love is no longer a romantic love. That is the shift.
Right.
Yes, interesting. So we're at 9:46. We have about 14, 15 minutes left. Let me throw something in the mix. I think if we're going to talk about unconditional love, we have to, in my opinion, talk about counterbalancing love for oneself with love for another.
Uh-huh.
Because I think sometimes love for self and love for another come together, coincide, uh-huh. coexist. Sometimes, and I think Sandra Smith Thomas, love is multifaceted, layered, and conditional, I believe. Interesting, Ricky Vera. I'm going to put a pin in that.
Yes, because multifaceted got me thinking. It is. He's right.
I think there are times now in my life, in my experience, when me understanding and ascertaining what self-love meant for me meant that I could no longer love that person unconditionally. And it also meant that I could no longer deal with that person. Again, this is just me.
Uh-huh.
As we're shifting, I think there are people who, and I don't agree with this, but I think there are people who do this, who love others so much that they forget about themselves. I don't know that that's the healthiest love possible. I really don't.
It's
that's
not,
just me.
Not.
All right,
when people say, oh, I love you more than life itself. Oh, I'd give my life for you. God gave you life. Your life should be, that's just me.
I mean,
God gave
yeah.
you life. It is a gift. You need to cherish it before you put your life on the line for anybody else. You have a responsibility to take care of that love, self-love and divine love first.
And
if you can take care of divine love and self-love first, then you have the ability to do all of the other types of love with ease.
See,
ease.
I think, all right, let me take it in this direction. I think for me, and again, I'm speaking about my experience, and I believe I have the capacity to love. I think that there are times when self-love clashes with love for the other. That sometimes it's a choice. If I love this person, then in this particular situation, I won't be as self-loving as I need to be.
Can you give an example of that? Because I really can't identify.
All right, with
yeah.
All right, cool. I can give a very simple example. I think for me, communication is essential, whether it's a
uh-huh.
work relationship, whether it's a business relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship. If, for me, an act of self-love is expecting that the other person communicate with me. whether there's a problem, whether there's an issue, whether I text you and it takes you 4 days to get back to me, when I know I get text immediately and I don't have the most expensive iPhone, but there's a little red dot on the right upper right-hand corner of my phone that lets me know I got a text until I return it or look at it. That's a non-negotiable for me. And if someone who I quote-unquote love demonstrates an inability or unwillingness to communicate with me, then if I'm going to truly love myself, I can't deal with that person anymore. That's my example.
Okay. Now I can identify once you gave me that.
Self-love versus love for the other, because I could easily rationalize, maybe she didn't get the text. Let's talk about romantic love. Maybe she is busy, and I can continue to rationalize and put my needs second when deep down inside it's creating resentment and anger and whatever else. Or I could say, you know what? This person that I love doesn't have the willingness or the capacity to communicate in a way that I need. And I'll add to that, I've let this person know how important communication is to me. It's not happening. I'm done.
Right. Well, you've got a lot of talking going on, a lot of self-talk, a lot of, well, maybe this and maybe that. But the bottom line is that how you love the person remains the same, correct? You have all of this self-talk trying to justify why they didn't call quick enough. Do I still feel the same way about them? Unconditional love states that you do. Self-love states that you take a shift. Okay, I need to now throw it back in their court, let them know I didn't appreciate, you know, you not calling me as soon as you did this and that and the other, because we already had this conversation. But see, the bottom line is that it doesn't mean necessarily that just because they didn't call you right back that they don't love you any less. Circumstances are circumstances. So
not at all.
You follow what I'm saying? So that self-talk could talk you right out of a loving situation.
It could.
Because of your personal definition of what love is.
Most definitely. I would say
self-love and unconditional love will enable you to see that situation. You're human. You're only human, and you know that you did not like it, but you can still walk away from the situation and still love the person unconditionally, but you may not be in love with them anymore.
You can
still have like a humanitarian kind of love towards them and keep it moving. No love loss, literally.
All right, so let me say two things. Number one, Dr. Pearson, I dare you to say you love someone under any condition and they not love you the same way, hurt you, or completely turn their back on you and see if it doesn't change how you love them. I agree. I will say to you this, that for me, my love has conditions depending upon who the person is. For my son, who's 10 years old, is unconditional. In a romantic relationship, and I'm just using communication as an example, that's a non-negotiable for me. And if that doesn't happen, and I have to gently push back against your commentary about self-talk, because I think I'm a very communicative person, and so I'm not wrapped up in my own head. Before I make a decision, with respect to any romantic relationship, I'm going to talk to the person as well as think within my own head. So it has to be some type of external verification or lack thereof. See what I'm saying? But I think yes, there are people who can love unconditionally. I think when I want to balance self-love for love for the other, sometimes love for self trumps love for the other. And I'm like, if I'm going to love myself truly, I can't deal with this individual.
Right, exactly.
So,
human decision, and I agree with that. It doesn't mean, that's what I was saying before, like that I love you no matter what. It doesn't mean that you stay in the situation. It's almost like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of forgiveness. It reminds me a lot of forgiveness,
when you say you forgive someone, you're doing it. It's a decision that you make between you and God. It just is. I mean, you can't really see it. You can't touch it. It's a decision that you make within yourself, and you're comfortable and you're content with it within yourself, and you just do it and you let it go. You let it go. So when you love somebody unconditionally in that sense, even if they step on your toes, it doesn't mean that their actions have an effect on you and it makes you be a less loving person. If you are as loving as you presented yourself from the very beginning, nobody's actions should make you any less of a loving person. We're talking different types of love here.
Let me take it here. And I appreciate what you're saying. Love has an emotional component. Love has a volitional component or decision-based component. We can choose to withdraw love from someone. We can be a loving being and withdraw the love from a particular person. And maybe that's what people. Not all the time.
It ain't that easy.
Well, you know what?
I think
we have to agree to disagree. Because it can be done, but it's not that easy.
Depending on how deep your love is, it takes time. It's not that easy.
I'm only speaking from my experience. So we can disagree theoretically, but we can't really disagree based upon experience. So what I'm saying, as I said, I think love can be withdrawn. I'm not saying whether or not it's easy. I think the outcome is withdrawal. That's the outcome.
Yeah.
Just
to expound on that, what type of love are you talking about? Are you talking about being in love romantically with someone?
I'm talking about any kind of love.
Any kind of love? Wow.
I'm talking about any kind of love because I think my understanding of love is there's an emotional component to it, and then there's a volitional or will-directed mental component to it. And love can be withdrawn. Difficult or easy, it can be withdrawn. And maybe that's what people are saying. That's when people say, I fell out of love. And I think, too, in this society, I think we overemphasize the emotional piece of love. And I think for relationships to endure, marriages to endure, and I've had the privilege of talking to people in my career who've been married 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And for those people, and I've asked them, they've said it's about commitment. And emotions ebb and flow. Commitment to me is both mental and spiritual. And that's why I say love can be withdrawn. If our definition includes a volitional component and not just an emotional component. See, if we think love is only emotions, then as emotions change, love changes. If we also say that love is a decision, then I can choose to love or not love every day.
That's deep. I can't identify, but that's deep.
it's okay. You know, it's okay. We each, IO, listening audience, viewing audience, we each bring our experience to bear. I've been doing this a long time. I don't mind being challenged. You know what I'm saying? If I wasn't confident in my perspective, then I couldn't be on the air or on the TV. But I am, so I can.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it just goes back to, you know, people expressing love that's undefined.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because it's like you could be married to someone and obviously you were in love with each other. If your definitions match to the core, that you were in love with each other. And then over time, one person says, oh, I'm not in love with them anymore. But do you still love them?
So, all right. So how about this?
The answer might be yes, but you just don't feel the same intensity of being in love, that Eros kind of love, or you still may love them in a humanitarian type form, but it's still love.
Sandra Smith Thomas. Thank you, Ayo. Sandra Smith Thomas. I can't identify with that either. It's very simple. I mean, we can agree to disagree. We don't have to agree. I think a couple things we can take from this overall conversation. Define what love is for you, as I've defined what it is for me. Also, ask yourself if in reality unconditional love is possible, because it's pretty heavy to say I love somebody unconditionally. That has a lot of weight to it. But what I'm saying, Sandra Smith Thomas, and thank you for your comment, I appreciate your candor, is that there's a, and I'm using the word volitional, we choose to love or we choose not to. I'm not saying there are no emotions to love. I'm not a Vulcan. However, love for me on a spiritual level has a willed component, a decided component. How do people stay married for 50 years when sometimes they're feeling each other and sometimes they're not? Because they choose to stay committed. You understand? And I think,
but they don't choose to love. They just, you just answered your own question. Choosing to stay committed doesn't mean that they chose to love.
I didn't answer my own question because I didn't raise the question. I didn't answer
No,
my own
you
question.
Said how do they stay married for 50, 60, 70 years?
Right.
Love, and like the song, may have nothing to do with it. It's the commitment.
Understand what I'm saying. And I'm also saying this, that love manifests itself in commitment. See, commitment, a decision to stay in it, is an aspect of love. So, and I'm addressing Sandra Smith. I'm addressing Sandra Smith Thomas' perspective. And we can agree to disagree. We don't have to agree. That's not why we're doing this. We can agree to disagree.
I agree with some of that.
Let me just get back to Sandra Smith Thomas for one second. So. That's all I'm saying, is that there's a mental, and I would say, as Dr. Pearson brought in earlier, and Ayo brought in earlier, a spiritual component, that it's decided. When emotions are gone, you can still decide to love. and you know what? At Sandra Smith Thomas, it's okay. I appreciate that you're agreeing with Ayo. See what I'm saying? And all I'm saying to those who are watching, those who are listening in general, and I found it to be powerful in my own life, that the emotions are not going to always be there, but the decision can always be there to keep loving.
Okay, so that's your mind. That's your mind having a bout with your heart.
No,
and it's your
all.
Heart having a bout with your deeper understanding of unconditional love.
No, not at all. Ayo, you're putting words in my mouth. Please don't. I know
no,
exactly
no, no, that's my opinion. No, that's it. My opinion. That's
okay.
How I see it.
Okay. I don't agree, but I mean that's not the case with me. Right. It's not the case that, you know, that's not the case with me. That is not a battle. Because there's a certain unity to love that can unite emotions and volition. When emotions may be fading or absent, then there's still the volitional or decision-based component. So, is unconditional love possible? What I would say to all anyone who is watching and listening tonight, there's a lot of power. One last comment. There's a lot of power in unconditional love, and it is poorly defined without the capacity to do it. Without the spiritual corner, you are handicapped in your ability to love. Yes. Let me just take one last look at Blog Talk. Is anybody else? Good. Nobody else in the queue. Ayo, any parting thoughts before we conclude tonight's broadcast?
Well, I was hoping to hear, you know, get some feedback on from the listening and the viewing audience on is unconditional love possible in relationships specifically?
I think that. I don't know if you can see the comments, but people have been weighing in all evening. Some say yes, I think the majority of people say yes with the proviso that as long as that unconditional love does not result in pain for the person loving. I mean, that's kind of the general perspective. So people
right.
have been waiting the whole show, yes.
Right. I agree. Totally agree.
Thank
and
you.
When the relationship, in my opinion, is
yes.
over based on your independent and unique definition and understanding of unconditional love, you can still carry it with you wherever you go. It doesn't end. The same way that love can, you know, hit us upside the head unexpectedly for another person romantically, when we're talking relationships now. So the same way that it could, you know, just out of the blue, just hit us upside the head, you know, and not be created. We don't mentally say, well, I'm going to love this person. I'm going to be in love with this person. It just is. I mean, it just flows. Like you were saying earlier, it just ebbs and it flows. And it's all around us. It's all in us. But that specific kind of love, that connection between two human beings that goes into that Eros kind of love, it just is. So when things just happen that say in our minds, I don't feel the same way about this person anymore, or as some people will say, the love has dwindled or the love has died. Really? It died? Well, maybe it was just diminished a little bit, you know. Maybe if you had a different understanding of unconditional love, self-love, then it would shift into a different kind of love because you carry it wherever you go anyway. But to just like no love at all, just gone, I just think that love just can't be turned on and off so abruptly. I mean, it takes time. It takes time to say in your mind, I no longer love that person. That's my personal opinion on it.
Yes, one of the things, viewing and listening audience, that I've strived to do in the, I guess, almost going on 5 years now, I've been doing relationship radio, is there are times when we who are co-hosting agree, there are times when we disagree, we respect each other's opinion. Also,
right.
for those who comment in the chat and call in, there are times we agree, there are times we disagree. The beauty is that this is a no-holds-barred relationship conversation. And so it's really about us deciding for ourselves. For purposes of this conversation, as we bring this broadcast to a close, what is love? How do we balance love for self with love for the other? What is unconditional love? And is unconditional love possible? I'm your host, your co-host, Finesse. Appreciate my co-host Ayo being on, Ayo Dele, aka Ayo, being on tonight. I appreciate your co-hosting tonight. We'll be back next week.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy. Thank you. I had a blast.
It's been a joy. So everybody, we appreciate it. Yes. Last comment. Thank you, Ricky Vera, for your comments about Jesus demonstrating unconditional love. And yes, Sandra Smith Thomas, yes, love, unconditional love. Thank you, Sandra Smith Thomas. Enjoyed you also. Self-love, yes, it does make a difference. So listen, everybody, we appreciate it. I'm glad you had a good time tonight. We're back. We'll be back 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another exciting topic. You've been listening to Real and Raw, a no-holds-barred relationship conversation with your co-host Finesse and your co-host Ayo. All right, everybody. One love. Have a good night.
Peace and blessings.